97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Listen to both sides.
The bottom line is,
I respect that we don't agree.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice. Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, Fox?
The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning.
I think impeachment is totally wrong.
He must be impeached.
This marks now the sixth year that they've been going after President Trump and his family.
Let's bring up a vote to expel Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley from the Senate.
CNN can finally take that COVID death ticker off the screen. There's no reason for it now.
Come on, give me a break, man.
The rules have changed again. Happy Friday. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. They're just a little snapshot of what went on around the country yesterday. More dissension, all that good stuff. Stuff burning out in Portland. What's changed again? Remind me, please. Oh, Donald Trump is no longer president. I forgot. Almost forgot. How strange. Hey, glad you're back with us. Hey, this was the story that fascinated me yesterday. This will predate you a bit, certainly, Tricia, and maybe Denise. But when I got to St. Louis back in 1993, one of the big debates was whether or not we should have riverboat gambling. Mm-hmm. Remember that? There were people who, you know, didn't want it because it was a sin. They thought it was going to make us Las Vegas of the middle of the country. There are going to be casinos everywhere, which of course now there are. The only way to police it was to make them stay on boats and float in the river, which of course is completely safe when you put people on a boat and nobody knows who they are and you float. We had several near disasters over the years. Anyway, gambling is here now. It's here to stay, all this stuff. We're not worried about the Las Vegas thing anymore, except guess what they want to do in the city now?
What?
Decriminalize prostitution. That's where the debate has come to in the city of St. Louis, in the mayoral debate right now, which is going to be the next big political race we'll be talking about in the city, because, you know, you can get out now and start working for your favorite candidate, whoever it happens to be, Lewis Reed or Tashara Jones or Kara Spencer, whoever it happens to be. Tashara Jones is advocating decriminalizing prostitution.
Mm-hmm. I take it you're not into that.
I'm just not sure if, you know, like.
My first question is, why is this a top issue right now?
Because it would destigmatize sex work.
Okay, well, I'm still apparently not sure why, of the 1,000 top things they should be talking about, this is probably like 999.
Yeah, I can see it being low on the list. I get your point to that. But I think it's more than destigmatization. I think there is a case to be made that you can make it safer and take government out of control. I mean, if a government's going to say you don't have control over your own body, you're not allowed to do that. I think that you're making it illegal and illicit makes it more dangerous for people. I think I've always kind of thought that it's not a government's place to decide what I can do with my body in the first place. And if there's a way to make it safer by decriminalizing it, I think that's the issue, is safety and taking the danger out of it, some danger out of it.
You know, I'm only going to compare this to one of my favorite topics, which is legalized marijuana in Illinois, because we've had this conversation before. You can buy it legally over there, but you have to pay more for it. So there's still a thriving black market for marijuana in Illinois. I'm sure anybody that lives over there or lives over here for that matter knows where you can go buy some this afternoon, and you're not going to have to get it from a government dispensary and pay more in taxes. So the challenge here is, if part of the focus for Ann Wagner and a lot of other people has been to stop human trafficking, I don't see how legalizing it helps that situation. But I'm like you. I'm just fascinated that with all of the problems that, that they face in the city of St. Louis, the population declining, the lack of jobs, you name it, right down the line, this is a focus right now. The editorial board in the Post today spent long segments of copy talking about legalizing prostitution in the city.
Well, you can still, I mean, you still crack down hard on pimps and sex traffickers, right? And then you give women or men who want to do this kind of work an opportunity to do that, earn a living without having to go through all of these seedy channels.
My suspicion it might have something to do with more with the tax revenue if they think there's a tax base here that can be tapped into,
Sure, but whenever, I mean, same thing with pot. If you're selling, if you go from selling pot, making it illegal to sell pot on your own, yes, they're getting taxed. You do pay more. I know personally people that have switched over to buying it legally. That's fine. But those drug dealers now are going to switch to selling harder stuff. You can still crack down on like the illicit stuff. I don't know. I think that really, yes, it's a tax base, but the effort is to make it safer for people that want to participate in it. And I've never thought a government should be able to tell you what you can and can't do with your body like that.
Huge markup over in some of these places. So we'll see what happens with it. By the way, and I'll give full credit to Tricia Seekman for this.
Oh, thanks.
Because you used to reside among them down there in the city. Mm-hmm. And you told me one time, you got to watch it. A lot of people down there really like Kara Spencer. Mm-hmm. That's what she told me.
Still do.
She's last in the polls, but she's raised more money than the people leading in the polls.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So somebody's throwing some cash at her, whether she's got a chance or not in the city of being the next mayor in a runoff. Well, we'll know soon. Hey, let's get to a break. What say you? Is legalizing prostitution in the city of St. Louis an answer? I'll get to your calls. Is it something you even care about? 314-241-9797.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You can review this entire plan by going to whitehouse.gov. It is so detailed, it is over 198 pages. And complete detail what we're going to do.
Yeah, well, that's never going to get old. I couldn't go a segment without playing something from Sleepy Joe, the president there. But back to this issue very quickly of legalizing prostitution. Made me wonder, they got to be making money on it, or these states like Nevada wouldn't want to do it. So according, now, this is not, you get several different numbers when you go to the internet on this. Apparently, there's, in some cases, they've tried to tax it, and that hasn't worked as well. But in terms of just revenue, it's estimated that Nevada grosses about $75 million a year on legal prostitution, which I think is a got to be a fair question about what might be motivating somebody who's about to become the mayor of the city of St. Louis. That's dollar signs flashing in front of their eyes. Let's go to Ken on line two. Ken, good morning.
Hey, Bart. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Like you say, man, follow the money. The only reason they want to legalize it is so that way they can bust them if they don't pay the earnings tax.
You got to earn a living, right?
That's right. So does the city. They're going to take their share of it. They want that 1%. They'll be asking them for their papers, tax papers.
And I suspect it'll be more than 1%, because there'll be a that's just the earnings, right? There's going to be a transaction fee on top of that.
Yeah. You got to make the money on it.
And then hey, maybe Mark. they can yeah, you bet, Ken. Thank you for the call. Then maybe they can transform, you know, the Bevo Mill into like the Mustang Ranch of South City.
I mean, maybe, but if you get government involved in something like this, then having requirements for STD testing protects clients and workers. I mean, there are, I understand that the motivation is likely monetary, that it is likely tax-based, but there are some things that could be good as far as protecting health and public health and safety.
Yeah. Well, I guess I can see that. I can see that argument. I just, I still question how much of the illicit trade that it would impact, because I just don't know how many people would go to the trouble. Let me go to Joe on line one, see what he thinks about that. Joe, good morning.
Good morning. My thought on it is, if it were done correctly, you know, they studied how things were done out there in Las Vegas, having a prostitute carry a card, like a driver's license, they could use that to find the underage girls that are being sex trafficked. And then the money that is made off of it, use that to help find those girls. So it could be a possible, you know, it could be a good thing if done correctly. But then again, we are talking about government.
Yeah, that's true.
Good point.
I almost wonder if maybe I watch too many cop shows, not being somebody who's out there, driving around on the streets looking for this sort of thing. But if it happens everywhere, it doesn't just happen in the Grand District or South City. It's everywhere. So then you've got the extra burden on the police at that point to become revenue agents and to stop every person who walks down the street who looks like they might be soliciting to see if they're doing it legally.
Well, they could be an asset to the police also, because chances are they're going to have small amounts of marijuana or crack on them. Instead of busting them for that crack, they get information out of them as to where the, you know, illegal underage girls are being, are working at.
Interesting. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. I mean, I guess that's a possibility. We'll see. Joe, thank you for the phone call. You know, I don't know. Tashara Jones revolutionized parking in the greater St. Louis area downtown, don't you think? She put all those little, you know, electronic payment devices in everywhere. Maybe she'll monetize this too somehow. Who knows?
Did she
get a big old slush fund for prostitution?
Did she make parking more expensive downtown, or did she just get rid of parking meters that required quarters?
She got rid of parking meters requiring quarters, so you don't have to pay people to drive around and collect the money all day. Just goes electronically straight into the bank account for the city.
Is that a bad thing? That seems
like
it's probably
saving everybody
money.
I'm saying she revolutionized it. Maybe she just gives everybody who's got a license a little keypad, and they can do everything electronically, and the money gets taken out automatically, and it's going to be great. We're going to be the Las Vegas of the Midwest.
I'm not sure I'm following this logic, but I trust that you're going somewhere with this.
It's tongue in cheek. Okay. I will remain on board with the fact that it's a bad idea, and the timing just strikes me as a little odd with the all the other challenges that we face in the city right now.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. It just seems like, why is this a hot topic at the moment? Like, that makes me wonder what is going on behind it that makes this such a hot topic at the moment, when there's so many, seems to me anyway,
there's fish to fry,
much more to be talking about.
I'm
right
with
now.
You guys on that.
Big fish to fry, no doubt, in the city. But the election's underway, and it's going to be different this year. because you know that there could be a runoff at the end from the top two vote getters, and I guess they're trying to finagle every bit of attention they can to motivate people to get out and vote in the city this year, since it's sort of a, you know, an off election, so to speak. Hey, quick break here. We will check in with Jennifer Kashinka. We'll get her thoughts on what's going on in the market. We'll get back to more of your phone calls at 314-241-9797. What say you? What's pushing your buttons this morning? We'll talk about it on the Mark Cox Morning Show. All right, did you buy a Mega Millions ticket? Ladies,
yes.
Have you done it?
I did not.
Oh, you still got time. The drawing is tonight.
Okay. I won't, but well, okay.
Don't bother.
Good to know.
We've got the winning ticket at home, so.
I love how they break this thing down, that there's almost mathematically no way to improve your chances of winning.
Whether you buy one ticket, so regularly playing doesn't improve your odds of winning. If you think, well, if you know somebody who's won the lottery before, they have just as good a chance to win it again as you do. That's just sort of that's wrong thinking, that you're not going to win a second time because you have as much chance as you did the first time.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that might give you even a slightly better odd is that instead of buying one ticket, you buy five, which would give you 5 in a 302 million chance of winning, as opposed to 1 in a 302 million chance of winning.
Yeah. I mean, the odds aren't great, but you can't win if you don't play.
Far more likely to get hit by lightning.
Well, I'm going to spend all day dreaming up what I'm going to do with that money, knowing full well that I'm not going to have that money, but at least...
But it's fun to dream.
Exactly.
Yes.
You almost just play for the possibility of thinking about it.
It's true. You don't know. I mean, somebody in Maryland did it, clearly.
Yeah,
they don't know who it is yet.
Them.
And in Maryland, apparently, you don't have to say. So that's one of the states where you don't have to, your name never has to be made public. So you may never know who won. That would be ideal.
That would be ideal. The only way you're going to know that I won is that I'm not here the next day.
You won't be here anymore.
I won't be here on Monday.
And
so
nobody will ever
know.
Hear from you again.
That will be the last.
And your phone will stop working.
New phone,
it's
new
be
this.
Odd. Yeah, we know who's getting blocked, don't we? Hey, let's check in on business. Jennifer Kashinka joining us this morning at, you know, what's $970 million between friends, Jennifer? You'd share, wouldn't you?
That sounds like a no.
Jen, we've known you for a long time.
I'm not buying a ticket. So.
I just sort of heard a grumble there. No, not even trying. Huh?
Not
Have
even
you ever
interested.
Bought one?
No, not interested in the least. You ever see that documentary about the people who win the lottery and how miserable they are?
I'd be willing to test that theory.
Yes,
no.
I'd like the opportunity to
no.
challenge that.
Your life would be ruined. No.
Maybe. Maybe, but man,
people
I can
would
think
never
of a lot
bother,
of ways to
never
ruin
leave
it.
You alone. They'd never leave you alone. You'd be hounded by people looking for money for the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's possible, I guess. I don't know. I'd still wouldn't mind testing it out.
Yeah, all right. Good luck. Good luck.
What's
to
happening
you.
In the markets out there?
Futures are moderately lower on worries about rising COVID cases, and amid signs Republicans will put up resistance to President Biden's $1.9 trillion fiscal stimulus proposal. But here's a positive sign for the flailing economy. Many companies are ramping up spending. Business purchases from other businesses rose nearly 11% in December compared with the year ago. From March through August, such B2B purchases were falling. That means retailers, manufacturers, and wholesalers are snapping up inventory, parts, raw materials, equipment, and other goods and services, an indication they remain confident the economy will emerge from the winter rough patch within months. The Federal Reserve says all 12 regional bank presidents and their current seconds in command have been approved for new five-year terms. The little-known renomination process happens every 5 years. The lowest-paid regional Fed bank president, St. Louis's James Bullard, who is paid $392,400 annually. Eli Lilly says its antibody drug can prevent COVID-19 illness in residents and staff of nursing homes and other long-term care locations. It's the first major study to show such a treatment may prevent illness in a group that has been devastated by the pandemic. Residents and staff who got the drug had up to a 57% lower risk of getting COVID-19 compared to others at the same facility who got a placebo. NASA's top safety advisory panel has gone public with deep skepticism about the agency's past and future decision process regarding safety oversight. The panel's annual report says its members are very concerned that NASA's risk management efforts failed to adequately assess the implications of how one program decision may affect other programs as development proceeds. Labor advocates are calling on grocery delivery platform Instacart to reverse a decision to lay off hundreds of employees, including the company's only unionized workers. Instacart informed employees earlier this week it will be cutting nearly 2,000 jobs. Instacart says it's eliminating the positions because some of its partner stores are switching to a model where their own employees will select the groceries that are then delivered to customers' homes. With no quick end in sight for the pandemic, Hollywood is already pushing back the release dates of some of 2021's biggest movies, including the new James Bond film and the Ghostbusters sequel, No Time to Die. The latest Bond installment won't be released until fall. That's a third delay in the past 10 months for the expected blockbuster. And with alcohol banned in many airline cabins to help thwart the spread of COVID, what's to be done with it? Well, American Airlines has an idea. Sell it and ship it. American says a new program called American Airlines Flagship Sellers will give customers a chance to buy wine by the bottle in custom curated cases or via a monthly subscription plan that costs $99 a month. Single bottle wine offerings range in price from $13 to $40, and the most expensive offering is a $300 three-pack of champagne. Mark?
Hmm. You have to order it. I guess you'd have to order it in advance, right? They're not going to load all that extra weight on the plane for you.
I don't think so.
No.
They're going to ship it to you.
They're going to ship it to you, but you couldn't take it on and drink. Like, the whole point, the whole bummer about not being able to buy alcohol on airplanes right now is that's when you need it.
Yeah. If you're a nervous flyer.
Honestly, if you're a nervous flyer, that's when you need it.
Yeah.
Any way to get some extra cash out of you, I guess.
Oh, yeah. They're selling their chairs and hot towels and everything these days.
Yeah, true. Jennifer, thank you.
Have a good weekend.
Thanks,
all right. I appreciate that.
Why would you pay more for alcohol from an airline? This seems very silly to me. I understand them needing to get rid of a supply, but why would they think that they'd have any kind of edge on an alcohol supplier market?
Well, have you ever been flying and been bored and picked up one of those like in-flight magazines with the stuff that's for sale?
Sure. Yeah.
All of that stuff is outrageously priced.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You know, I mean, I have my issues with Amazon right now because before Donald Trump got out of office, Amazon couldn't see fit to use its delivery system to help with supplying these vaccines around the country. Now, all of a sudden, they've issued a letter to Joe Biden wanting to do anything they can.
Right.
So I have some real issues with Amazon, as much as I appreciate their business model. But you can't. There's no way that you could look at anything in one of those in-flight magazines and not find it cheaper on Amazon.
Yeah.
I don't know how they've sold that stuff over the years.
Well, and with liquor delivery or booze delivery, they're not, a lot of people are doing that now. Why wouldn't you get it cheaper locally? I just don't understand. To me, nice try, but it's not like the airlines do that much well anyway. Why would I think that your service here is going to be better?
So this is funny. You know, you can go through a company called Instacart now and order groceries, obviously. Mm-hmm. But if you select alcohol, they tell you right on there, we're going to card you when we get there.
That seems fair.
Mm-hmm. It does. It does seem to make like a lot of sense. Except that I had to order Instacart for my mother the other day, who lives in a residential living facility for people. The youngest person there is 85 years old. The youngest person
by design. That is how this location works. Yeah.
The Instacart person shows up the other day. My phone rings. We need to have somebody with an ID come out. I'm like, dude, I want you to step back and take a look at where you are. There's not even an employee who works there under the age of 40. Why in the world would you think we're trying to sneak alcohol in to a teenage party at this place?
Yeah, it seems silly. Sometimes common sense doesn't.
There has to be some flexibility in there somewhere, folks. Well, I even put that in the little notes. This is an elderly care facility. Nobody's trying to have a rager.
Well, and I remember working at Applebee's. I think we had to card anybody that looked under 40. That's fine. I mean, I'm not going to
Now they pretty much always ask for it, don't they? Because they type in your birthday.
I know. And a lot of like grocery stores, and I don't know, and maybe that's the hang up with Instacart. A lot of places have to actually scan it.
Yeah.
They actually have to have a valid ID to scan. So maybe it's one of those things that they can't actually. Like, I know at Walgreens, I think they actually have to scan it before they can push it through and make the sale.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe in their defense, maybe it's something like that.
If you're going to fake your age when you have to type that in, you're going to do it by a couple of years, not by 60. That's all I'm saying. All right. Quick break here. 314-241-9797. Still got Virginia Crudup coming up. We're going to talk to Benjamin Brown from Satchmo's, who's continuing to fight to help restaurants in the greater St. Louis County open up. J.J. Carafano coming up at 8:10. Nick Schroer about 8:30. Still got a big show. We'll be right back.
It's Joe Biden's first day in office, and you know what that means. CNN can finally take that COVID death ticker off the screen. There's no reason for it now. It's not like you can blame Joe Biden for some Chinese virus that escaped from a lab in Wuhan. Huh, that wouldn't be fair. Come on now.
Nice, Tucker. Well played. We appreciate that. And it will start to disappear. They're already, the WHO suddenly announced now that Anthony's back, old Tony Fauci's back. Hey, you know what? We've probably been overestimating the number of deaths. We're going to go back and revise those numbers now that they're not as important to the world. Isn't that weird timing? I'm sure it's just purely coincidence.
It all goes back to my question. Is 2020 finally over?
No. Never. It's never going to be over.
I don't know.
Like, I
feel like COVID's going to start to go away. I mean, no, the misery and the like things to cover and the political issues, the way he's going to butcher some of the policy, but the hysteria of 2020, can we be done with it now that the election's over? Because I think that there was a significant portion of our leadership that was using that to gain favor with people.
Yeah. There's we said it all along that things were going to change. Maybe they didn't change the day after the election because there were questions about that. And a little bit of good news. I'm glad that you brought that up. Did you see what's happened in Pennsylvania? This happened yesterday. And people need to understand, I've said all along, and our folks in Justin Hill down in Jeff City pointed this out to us. Jim Lemke pointed this out to us. Election reform has got to take place on the statewide level because that's where the Constitution places the requirement to make sure these elections are done fairly and consistently. It's got to come from the legislature. Biggest state in the nation that had the biggest challenges was Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. Two Republican senators yesterday announced they've introduced legislation to repeal no excuse mail-in ballot provisions enacted in a previous law there. They've seen the problem. They've seen where the fraud came from, or the ability to produce fraudulent votes, to harvest ballots, because it doesn't require an individual leaving their home to go vote. It doesn't require them proving who they are. All they have to do is find somebody willing to come to their door, tell them how to vote, collect their ballot, and stuff a mailbox with it. So we've got the first steps are underway. And I can't stress to you how important that is. This is a Patrick Stefano, a senator, and Doug Maestriano, two senators in the state of Pennsylvania, where the Republicans control the legislature. And you just have to hope with their Secretary of State Buchvar, their rogue Supreme Court up there, their Governor Wolf, who clearly is a big Democrat. Remember, this is where we're getting our next assistant, Department of Health and Human Services secretary from, who's not quite sure what's going on in the world in terms of how to dress on a daily basis. They're going to have enough votes in the House and the Senate in Pennsylvania to pass this and beat a veto, but they're working on it. That's where it's got to start, right there. That's a reason for being confident looking forward. because we know where it starts. Hey, we're going to get to Virginia Cruda coming up here from the Daily Caller. We'll talk to her about what she's seeing out there. Benjamin Brown and JJ Carafano coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.